This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. The COVID-19 outbreak has brought many unprecedented developments, including this. The U.S. closed about 8,000 miles of border with Mexico and with Canada. There has never been a shutdown like this in the history of the country, not even after 9/11. So in this part of the program, we'll be answering your questions about immigration, borders, and travel. Send them by going to npr.org/nationalconversation or use the hashtag #NPRConversation on social media. Joining us now are NPR's correspondents John Burnett and Joel Rose, both of whom cover immigration. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Ari.
Hi, Ari.
Our first question comes from Rana in Memphis. Let's listen.
So part of my green card application involves applying for a work card. And the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services is the entity that grants work cards. But unfortunately, its biometric sector is shut down right now. My question is, what plans is the USCIS putting in place to meet the needs of immigrants like me whose livelihoods depend on a work card?
And we actually have Rana on the line with us. Hi there, Rana.
Hello.
Thanks for your question. And also, I understand congratulations are in order. You got married over the weekend?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
But it was a no-hug wedding from what I hear.
You could definitely say so. It was a weird, quick 2-second side hug sort of wedding. We met our judge and a few friends at a beautiful park nearby, and the ceremony...
Oh, I think we might have just lost you, Rana. Are you there? It seems like we might have lost Rana, but we fortunately have Joel Rose on the line who heard Rana's question about part of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services being shut down. And for people who are operating under difficult, tight deadlines, what can they do? Joel, what advice do you have for Rana?
Well, so Rana is in an interesting situation. I mean, she can still apply for her green card, right, because she's now married to a U.S. citizen. But that is a process that takes a long time, even in normal times. So, and while she's waiting, she can also apply for her work permit. But that's where this pandemic may start to present a problem for Rana and people in a similar position, because she can't go and get the biometrics that she needs, the fingerprints, because USCIS offices are closed to the public right now. So there's going to be potentially an interruption in her ability to work legally in the U.S. That could be just a few weeks, or it could be longer. And it really depends on how long the shutdown goes on. And it could be that her green card process winds up taking a lot longer, too. But at least she should be able to stay in the country while that's playing out.
Okay, Rana, I think we have you back on the line. Are you there?
Yes,
okay,
you do.
Great.
I'm sorry, I know what happened.
No, that's all right. Can you tell us just what's at stake for you here? I mean, is your ability to stay in the country hanging on whether you can get the biometrics done?
Actually, so my ability to stay in the country depends on whether or not I submit my green card application on time. And so the list of documents to submit is really long. And with the current situation, some are just really out of reach. Like, Chris and I can take care of everything digital, such as online forms and whatnot. But for instance, I'm unable to apply for a work card, like I said in the question. Yeah. And for example, I'm unable to get medically checked and cleared by a legal surgeon right now. Because it seems like a risky thing to do during a pandemic. And B, their services don't seem to be available at the moment.
And have the immigration offices given you any indication of whether they're going to make special allowances because of the extraordinary situation that everyone is in?
I honestly have no idea. I had a conversation today with my lawyer, and he told me that the things related to my medical exam, they are applying some exceptions, but I don't know if I qualify for them. We have to see that.
All right, Rana, thank you for sharing your story with us. Joel, do you have any further insight for her?
These are good questions. I mean, USCIS has made some accommodations. Like they've changed a little bit of the way that they do business. They've extended certain deadlines. They've allowed electronic copies of signatures on paperwork instead of actual signatures on paper, which it doesn't sound like much, but that is a change for this agency. But in general, they haven't said what they're going to do for people in difficult situations whose visas may be expiring. These field offices are not closed totally, but they're closed to the public. So anything that involves this kind of personal contact, interviews, biometrics, is suspended indefinitely. So are some of the high-speed processing things that they normally offer. So, I think a lot of immigration lawyers are worried about people like Rana who are going to lose their work eligibility and maybe even their status during the
summer. Well, Rana, good luck, and please let us know how things turn out. All right, let's go to a question now from Karen in Boulder, Colorado.
What financial resources are available for undocumented members of our communities who are hard hit by the coronavirus and not eligible for many sources of assistance? Are there any states, counties, or cities that have set up relief efforts specifically for undocumented community members?
John Burnett, down there in Texas, I know you've done some reporting on this. What can you tell us?
Well, so we know that the U.S. Treasury is going to be sending out these stimulus checks for $1,200 each, but it's only going to people with valid Social Security numbers. There's absolutely no help plan for these workers who build our houses and cook restaurant food and make hotel beds and tend our lawns. They're left to fend for themselves in this historic crisis. These unauthorized immigrants comprise like 5% of the U.S. workforce, more than 7 million people. It's a huge number. And they're the most vulnerable workers. They don't have paid sick leave. They can't work from home like I'm doing right now, Ari. They don't have any unemployment insurance. No financial security.
Cities that have declared themselves sanctuary cities taking extraordinary steps to help these people in ways that the federal government might not?
I'm not aware of those. They may be doing that. What I do know about is in terms of private efforts, the National Day Labor Organizing Network in Pasadena has started an immigrant worker safety net fund. And so you can contribute there. But this is a sort of a controversial notion because in this unique crisis in American history, some are thinking that the $2 trillion bailout is to help Americans and would oppose any official local or statewide effort for non-U.S. citizen workers.
Sure. I could also imagine these people are more likely to be living in close quarters, less likely to have good access to health care. How are undocumented immigrants feeling the impact of COVID-19?
Well,
I should say we've just got about a minute left, John.
Okay. I mean, how are they feeling it? They need their jobs because they're saving money. They're sending it back. And so in many cases, there are no protections for them. And if they're lucky, they still have jobs. For instance, I know one example, a pistachio farm in Southern California, where the owners are sequestered in their house and using, lots of lockdown rules, and the workers, the dozen crew and the workers are out there pruning trees and planting trees and working on the irrigation system. There's nothing to social distance them.
All right. That is NPR's John Burnett and Joel Rose, both of whom cover immigration for us, answering your questions about the borders and immigrants during this crisis. You're listening to The National Conversation with All Things Considered.